Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 275. It's just two of us this week, so let's get right into it. John couldn't be here, he'll be back next week, most likely. Joining me this week, as he always does, it's Glacinator.
Hello, and I've actually played stuff this week, so...
Yeah, I was just about to say that if you are the type of listener, and we know they exist, that does not like a mostly what we've been playing episode, you might want to tune us out now. Yeah, you might just want to move on to...
Throw your device out the window.
No, those are getting too expensive because they usually are double as phones. But yeah, because this is going to be a lot of what we've been playing with new games on the horizon. New games we could be bothered to purchase because we actually wanted them. It's going to be kind of interesting because I see people who aren't Fallout or Halo fans getting all hyped for Star Wars Battlefront.
And that's coming too.
Yeah, it's next Tuesday. Because the only month that exists is November. Can't buy a kid a Christmas present that's 2 months old. Has to be only a month. That is a law somewhere, apparently. But anyway, I admit that I've gotten slightly hyped or been slightly affected by the hype for Battlefront, but still have zero interest because of the way EA's handled it. In that universe, you're not going to give me single player. Again, you know, I've rambled on about it enough. But so basically, that's what we're doing is what we've been playing. And we're going to break it down in that I'm going to talk about The Witcher 2 here first. Then Glace is going to talk about Halo because he finished that. And then for those of you that want to hear about Fallout 4, we will talk about that in unison with no spoilers here pretty quick. But just super quick. On my end, I did finish The Witcher 2, amazingly enough, not too long before Fallout came out. Fallout was out on Tuesday. I finished The Witcher Monday night. And part of the reason for that was because of how much fun I was having with it. I admit, when I got to the final chapter of the game, I probably rushed a little bit just because I knew I wanted to get to Fallout 4. And spend the bulk of my gaming time with it this week. But the bulk of Witcher 2, you know, let's use bulk a bunch of times, I was really impressed. And I am sure, even though I can't point you to a specific episode, I've made fun of the whole franchise because I had no fun whatsoever with The Witcher 1. Let me be the first to say that whatever I said back then, I was incorrect. And CD Projekt has done a tremendous job stepping up from part one to The Witcher 2. I still had a few frustrating and annoying moments and some design flaws that it's like, come on guys, you guys are hyping yourself as the studio that does it right and this crap's in there. But at the same time, none of it was enough to make me quit or to make me feel like I was slogging through the game. Part of that was due to the fact that they seem to have learned how to space stuff out. You might have a rather annoying boss, and then you'll get a period of time where the enemies or other things don't do a bunch of attacks that are annoying, like stun locks or, you know, slow or other things that just really sap your enthusiasm. And so overall, the mechanics and the combat and just the pacing of The Witcher 2 were so, so much better than Witcher 1. And the story was awesome. I was actually enthralled with the story. And kind of tying into something Glacinator said, you know, about, well, you know, any idiot could write that. I noticed that now I'm not focused on the story like I used to be with every game, because it's rare that we get good ones now instead of just, well, it needs a story, so we'll throw in a story. And The Witcher 2 is one of those rare ones. The other game we shall not name, The Odyssey and The Iliad, is the last time before The Witcher 2 that I was really blown away slash pleasantly surprised by a story. And The Witcher 2 was definitely the same. Agent K and I had played some video games together on Saturday, last Saturday. And it was funny, him and I talking about it. He's like, dude, trust me. I hadn't even beaten it at this point. He's like, dude, trust me. Just pick up The Witcher 3. I know you didn't like 1. I know why you didn't like 1. Just pick up The Witcher 3. And when we were talking and playing video games, I'm sitting there going, yeah, maybe. You know, I still was really convinced that The Witcher 2 is not going to finish, that I was not going to be able to get it done. And by Sunday night, Monday, whenever I finished it, I was definitely like, yep, I'll be buying The Witcher 3. I'll be buying it on sale. Sorry, CD Projekt. But that's more because I'm not made out of money and I'm cheap. But I definitely will be playing Witcher 3. I see why people get so hyped about it. As usual, they go overboard with the hype, especially where it concerns the first one. But it's very much like the Mass Effect trilogy, in that the first one kind of took a while to get its legs under it, and it really hit its stride in number 2, and barring whatever you think of the ending of number 3, it definitely hit its peak at number 3 with Mass Effect, and I think that The Witcher is definitely going to work the same way. So, if you have never played it and you like RPGs, but you didn't really think this series was for you, I'd recommend checking it out if you can find a good deal on it. Like last year, I got it for free because you have logged in and did some things on goodoldgames.com and you got a free copy. So, I mean, you can't beat that. But you've heard me yammering enough. Okay, so Glace, you finished Halo 5 this week. And
Halo 5, yes.
You did it solo. How was your solo experience versus the usual co-op brotherly love festival?
Yeah, I mean, every Halo game I've played has been a co-op experience. This is the first time I played a campaign all the way through by myself. So that was kind of unique for me and doing it alone. I had started out the weekend, I played like 3 or 4 multiplayer matches, and like I was still kind of pissed off at the controls. And I was like, maybe if I just, you know, go through campaign, like I'll probably get used to it. And if I want to go back into multiplayer at some point, then I'll have a little bit more aptitude at playing online. And when my brother got Halo 5 and it was announced and all that, I mean, I was interested in it, but I wasn't really excited for any part of the storyline. I mean, Halo 4 was all right, but they left it ambiguous at the end, but I wasn't really like anticipating, you know, oh, what's going to happen next. It was kind of like, oh, okay, they're just trying to keep it going. But this game did a very good job at keeping you engaged story-wise. The cutscenes were top-notch. There are some of the best cutscenes I've seen in a game. I mean, usually in Halo games, the cutscene will show up and be like, okay, this is like a breather, like in between missions, like, okay, I can go to the bathroom, like during these 3-4 minutes, you know. But this, I mean, they were like, you know, solid. Like I could see these scenes in an action movie, like in movie theaters right now, in a blockbuster movie. They were animated great. They looked great. You know, they had me on the edge of my seat at some points. Not even joking about that. They're really well done. So that was like the surprise for me out of everything, is that I actually was engaged in like what happened when I wasn't playing. Which also speaks to how good the story was in this one. And what I really liked was that they have two stories that are going on at the same time. So I won't give any spoilers, but you play as a squad that's hunting down Master Chief. He's gone absent without leave, and they're trying to figure out where he went, why he left. And then the other times you play as Master Chief with his squad. So you have two storylines that are going on at the same time, and usually, like, what I felt like, whenever one storyline was getting sort of boring, they would cut back to the other storyline and be like, oh yeah, what was happening in this one? So it didn't get monotonous at all. You know, going back and forth between the characters, it made it a little bit more, you know, exciting. Things were being switched up. I enjoyed that, you know, and the characters were fine. I mean, with the normal Spartan squad, you have, like, Nathan Fillion is in there. Like, he's basically playing himself, which is always funny. And then, I mean, Master Chief is being Master Chief, but I mean, it's always interesting to see what's going on with him. So I really like the duality of those storylines. I mean, the story was a little cliche, I won't go into what happens exactly, but I mean, in a span of about 20 minutes, you can sort of figure out where they're going with it. But
question, isn't that kind of what they were setting up in 4?
This is part of a trilogy. It's the Forerunner trilogy.
Right.
So 4 was the beginning of that, and then this is the second one. And I guess the next one will close it out. But the Forerunners were basically the people that, you know, started the universe. And so who built the Halo rings. So this game sort of goes back into that, and like, why were the rings built? And if you like Halo lore, which is interesting to me, when it's not overdone, I thought this game was pretty good at that. This game is also called Halo 5 Guardians. And I won't spoil anything about the Guardians, but they're basically big robots. I mean, that's not a huge spoiler. There are big robots in this game. And what my favorite part about Halo usually is playing campaign is the huge set pieces that there are. Like, you'll turn a corner and there'll be like a huge ship, or there'll be a huge mountain, or like, oh, I have to climb up that, or like, oh, I have to go around that. And this game did a really good job at implementing those set pieces. I mean, you'll go out of a building and there'll be this huge robot there. You're like, oh, whoa, it's so big. And it'll like step over you and, you know, like Godzilla-ish sort of thing, which Halo hasn't really done before, like a giant interacting thing that you have to avoid, which I thought was super cool. And you interact with them in different ways. They try to knock you down, you climb up, climb down them, you know, it's jungle gym robot thing. So that was cool. Yeah, I mean, overall, I really liked it. The squad-based gameplay was fun. If you're playing by yourself, you can direct your other squad members. So you can like point at an object and like go there and they'll all go there. Or you like focus that enemy and they'll all shoot that enemy. The AI is all right. I mean, they'll go there. They're aiming. Their aim sort of sucks. But I mean, it's good for using them as distractions. You can like point them at a turret and then go around and sticky the turret and blow it up. So I mean, it is useful and adds a little bit more depth, I guess, to the other characters, and that you actually have to use them. But it's hard to say too much without spoiling things, even though it's sort of obvious what happens. But I was pleasantly surprised with this. I went into this with no expectations, just like, oh, this is the next Halo. And I like this much better than I liked 4. And story-wise, this is probably the best since 1 for me. So I gave it 2 thumbs up. It was great.
It's pretty interesting because what I read and in talking to Pat about 4, I had a sneaking suspicion that the way they wanted to do this storyline was going to work really well, even for Halo.
I mean, the setup that they're doing, I didn't understand it in 4, but I totally see where they're going now, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it felt like, talking to most of you guys, that it was it was done so on purpose. That they have something else in mind. You know, it's funny you mentioned set pieces. We're going into Fallout 4 now. I had one today. I don't know if you consider it a traditional set piece, but I had something to me today right before I quit to do some paperwork and then get ready to do the show. I'm like, it basically was like, what the fuck is that? And you don't expect that in Fallout. Oh, I doubt you've gotten to this one. But honestly,
like, those moments are probably my favorite moments in video games.
Well, where, especially like, when you don't come expect up on something them.
When you don't expect it, and like this giant whatever it is, or like weird thing, you turn a corner, it's like, whoa, and you have to do a double take, even though you have control of the controller, you know. You're just like, what is this? You know, I love things like that.
Well, that was what was even cooler about it. The way the Fallout universe works, and the way the game works, as you've seen from playing it, you are in control. And so, like, I'm sitting there watching what's happening, and I'm like, oh, what should I do here?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm going, I'm just going to see where this goes. And funnily enough, unlike life, video games, a wait-and-see attitude is generally the best attitude to have. Because whether it's a cutscene or not, it's because sometimes if you jump the gun too early, you mess up what the AI is supposed to do, you mess up what the game had intended, and it just makes your life a miserable hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's get into it. This is your first experience with Fallout.
I mean, I've extensively watched my brothers play 3 and New Vegas, so right. I mean, I'm familiar with the universe and like things are look and are supposed to work. But this is my first time actually playing it.
How to you did the graphics look on Xbox One? Because that is kind of a point of contention in PC land.
Halo definitely looked better to me, but that may just because Halo is usually a more shiny, robot future looking stuff, and this is more grimy. But I mean, I have noticed some rendering distance kind of messiness, but I mean, that's not the game's fault. That's just the Xbox's fault. So, but, I mean, I said, I've never been a huge graphics person, so it doesn't bother me at all, but I mean, I think it looks fine to me.
Here's my problem. And I said this on Twitter. It's like, okay, next Fallout game, Fallout 5, or whatever, if Obsidian takes back over. Make it an enslaved universe. Make it like Enslaved. Green, like that History Channel show, Without Man, or whatever the hell it was called.
World Without Us, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. That's not the right name either, but Life After People. It was stumbled around enough, I got it. Because I think people would bitch then, too. You're not going to win, because basically what's going on in the Metacritic bombing and other places I've seen it is they're calling this a bad port to PC. And it's like, okay, idiots. First off, any more you PC gamers are calling anything not built from the ground up for PC a bad port when you're not happy with it. Second off, the Xbox One, PS4, and PC all run on the same architecture now. How can it be a bad port that runs on the same architecture? I guess people were expecting, because it had been so long since Bethesda did a Fallout game, that they were somehow going to reinvent the genre again. And you're not going to. It's an apocalyptic wasteland. It's supposed to look brown and gray. You know, because I was running around today thinking about that. How would this look if it was green?
Well, you can turn on your flashlight if you hold down B.
Yeah, I know.
And your flashlight's green, so if you really want green tint,
it's nice to see the button mapping's the same on the One controller as it is on the 360. That is
they never tell you that. That's how you turn on your flashlight. Like, I found that on accident.
They don't tell you a lot of things, and that's
my main complaint with this game. Which, if you want to get into that.
We will get into that, because as somebody who plays a shit ton of RPGs, MMOs, and other things where stuff doesn't get explained, even I have a problem with it. Because there was a quest where it held me up for like 30 minutes, and I had to look it up. I was stunned that I was able to actually find something on it. But we'll get into that. But that's the other problem, too, is I know I shouldn't be paying attention to critics. I love the game. And if you're on the fence about it and you liked Fallout 3 and New Vegas, you're going to like this. Unless you're just one of those special fucktards who thinks that everything should run 60 frames per second, 1080p. And look, there are people who own computers that can do that. I don't know how many times I got to say this. The bulk of us aren't those people. You know, I actually did run DxTory for a while playing. I didn't record anything. I'm getting 30, 35, 40 frames a second. And guess what? Runs fine. I don't notice anything. I'm not getting hung up in battles like some people are claiming. You know the other funny thing about this, Glaze, this game's bringing out? I'm developing new rules for user reviews. Not on Metacritic, because you don't have to prove you bought the game. So Metacritic's user reviews are completely and utterly useless. This could be Halo Kitties, this could be COD Kitties, because Blops 3 came out and was completely forgot about as soon as Fallout. And oh yeah, and by the way, nice going, Microsoft, released Rise of the Tomb Raider at the same time as Fallout. You guys had a good break because Uncharted got pushed back to 2016. And he decided to release it on the same day as Fallout, or a day after. But Steam user reviews, I'm starting to see a lot of 0.5 hours, 0.7 hours, 0.8 hours, 1 hour. I'm starting to think, and this is in paranoid territory of that, there's no doubt, that there are assholes out there buying the game and getting it refunded simply because they have an axe to grind with it. There's no fucking way in hell you can determine how good a game is in 0.8 of an hour. And I'll even give them up to an hour because who knows how accurate Steam's counter is. But I didn't notice any tearing, any frame loss. Funnily enough, the only glitch I ran into, the infamous Bethesda glitches. Oh, that game Biro engine. I had it not load once. And it was like right off the bat, like when I was leaving the vault.
Oh, and my big problem was I played it the first night, and when I came back to play it the next day, it just got stuck perpetually on like the, you know, the Xbox, like the loading screen, like for the entire game. And I was really worried. I was like, oh, did the disc scratch? So like I had to unplug. I just unplugged the entire Xbox and plugged it back in, and it was fine. But in game, I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, no, that you're going to have that with Bethesda. And the funny thing is people are using Fallout New Vegas to bash on Fallout 4 for that. It happened in Fallout New Vegas, too. That has been a thing since they went to 3D, since Bethesda got a hold of the damn thing. Everybody acts like Obsidian made this great cutaway from the Bethesda Fallouts. It's on the same fucking shit. It's using a lot of the same assets. And I admit, I did not love New Vegas as much as other people did. And I found a lot of the additions to it to be a little bit over the top. You're taking too much of my time with this bullshit. Let's see. I guess since Glace has mostly been playing with the crafting, I'll talk about the story. You know what? The story's, like you said about Halo, the story's cliched. Of that, there is no... I mean, when I saw what was happening, like, at the first part of it, you know, the what the hell is that? Prologue? It's a prologue for first? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the prologue, I'm like, oh, not again. Here we go with another Bethesda special.
How long did you take making your character?
Not very long. I don't care. It's the wasteland. I either usually go for complete freak show or just pretty standard. I may play with that more later because I'm kind of feeling guilty now because Bethesda did put a lot of effort into the character creator. A lot more than most games generally do. I've seen some YouTube videos of people recreating stuff like The Witcher, Geralt of Rivia, and a dude from GTA, one of the guys from GTA, one of the three main characters. I don't remember which one. So I'm probably going to go back and actually play with it. But my problem is I'm so fussy with that stuff, Glace, that if I mess up one thing and the face just gets like proportionally a little out of whack, then I start all over. I don't try and fix it because it just seems to inevitably get worse. And so I just usually use presets because I'm going to be there all damn day trying to sculpt the face perfectly.
Yeah, I spent maybe an hour and a half.
Oh, God. Did you recreate yourself?
I did. And I wasn't happy with it. And then I was walking through the vault and I found glasses and I put them on. And like, they're the glasses I actually have in real life. I sent my girlfriend a picture. And she was like, this looks creepy.
Yeah, you need to put a screenshot up. You need to put a screenshot in the Facebook chat of your character. I'm playing as a woman anyway. I play as women in RPGs. I just do. I like it. Aliana is the name of the character I use, and I've used her for so long now, she's almost taken on her own like life of her own, and so I just use her for everything.
Oh, Mr. Handy say your name?
No, because I like I said, it's Aliana, so it's spelled Alyana. Oh. So there's no way in hell he was going to be able to say it.
He does say Daniel, so that kind of freaked me out when he did that.
I suspect that he could say Bruce, but I generally don't use Bruce McGee as a character. I stupidly did in Worm. Now, but other than that, I generally use, I have like maybe a half dozen to a dozen names I use, and I seriously doubt that Mr. Handy can pronounce any of them, to be quite honest. But, it just calls me Mum. It's almost like he's trying to say Mum or and Ma'am.
Oh, you're using him as a partner?
No. I used Dogmeat for a while, and then I used one of the companions you found. But I'm not going to tell you which one, because not you. I doubt you'd care. It's one you get a little later in the game. In the previous ones, like 3 and, which is where dog meat comes from, I think. I don't remember. I generally just found the companions to be a pain in the ass. And so I didn't use them. Just get out of my way. And as much as Agent K was having a fit about the dog getting in his way, I've actually found that Bethesda got that a little better. And I think that's largely due to Skyrim. There's a lot of stuff in there that you're seeing for the first time that is better, that Fallout is better for because of Skyrim. And so that definitely helps. But yeah, as far as the story goes, it's Fallout. I mean, would it be awesome if it had an epic story? Yeah. Is that going to happen? Probably not. I do have to say that the side quests that I've done so far have been at least sort of interesting. Which is usually the weak point, but I don't know. The story, I'll have to tell you more as I finish it, which could be a while. Mechanic-wise, I haven't had any of the glitches, like I said, other than that loading one. I haven't had any. Let's go into setting, because we'll both have different feels on that. Now, I've traveled more than you have.
Yes, so far, much more.
So far in the game. I can say, as a Californian, and I've never been to Boston, but I have been to the East Coast enough to have at least a decent feel of the differences, or at least I have somewhat of a feel of the differences between East Coast and West Coast. I'd say that they could have Bostonianed it a little more with some of the voice actors. But I'm also very thankful that I don't have to listen to 10 hours a day of Mark Wahlberg's. As far as the characters go. Now, the settings, I thought they did it right. It felt very East Coast. It feels very much like Boston, Philly, New York, that whole region. It still looks like a typical Fallout game. And there's a lot of assets I'm seeing that were used in New Vegas and were used, or at least the particular model, like a lot of the cars and little bits and bobs. But they definitely got the feel of the landscape right for the area that it's in. You're never going to please the super over-the-top people that wanted to listen to Southeast for 10 hours a day. And I can guarantee even those people want to shoot themselves after having to listen to it for 40 hours. What did you think of the setting?
I have not left the top, the northwest, northeast part of the map yet. The way that I'm playing is, I mean, I slowly expand out from the initial area, and then once I get overburdened with objects, then I hoard them and bring them back to home base, basically. So the way that that's been working out is I haven't even made it to the city yet. So I've only been in the wood areas, which, I mean, they're woods. I can't really say they look like.
Have you made it to the coast area at all up in that northern map? Oh, God.
No.
There's absolutely nothing I can talk to you about that ties into Boston or Massachusetts.
I know. I haven't seen any, like, I've been to Lexington or Concord, whichever town that is that's closest. But, I mean.
Concord,
yeah, but. I haven't been anywhere that I can say, like, oh, I've been here in person. Like, this is similar, so.
You know that first battle that you get into?
Yes.
It was so funny to me, because the thing you fight, actually, I guess I can say that, because, no, I won't say it. But the thing that you fight in that first battle is the absolute hardest enemy you'll face in Fallout.
I know that, yeah.
And when I was fighting the bandits, I'm like, this is too easy. And as soon as that thought left my head out of the corner of my vision, and I did turn up my view distance. I left the settings at medium, but I did turn up my view distance because that does help you, at least in PC land. I turned to, and I saw the what was your real enemy out of the corner of my eye. And I went, "Are you fucking kidding me?" 20 minutes into the game, like, you bastards.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna top that. I mean,
oh, I'm sure they. They've kind of topped it. I mean, there's
so like a final boss battle, like.
Well, unless you know how to be a cheap little bitch with those kind of things, which I do. That battle was not that difficult for me because he don't fit in certain places. And so I just... yeah, but well, because I've been chased by them motherfuckers forever. And so it's like, they definitely... They don't ever feel cheap, but I know what I'm in for. And there's a section of New Vegas, there's a quest in New Vegas where you have to fight like 10 of those things. 10
yeah,
of them.
I watched my brothers do that.
Yeah, that I bet there was controller throwing and screaming because that's what I did. That is the legitimate last time I've had a massive fit in a game was that section in New Vegas. Because it's like Obsidian, you pricks. But I was actually rather impressed that they did it. Now, part of that's because I weaseled my way out of it with relative ease. But I think that they will... New Vegas was kind of like that, too, though. That you were, it felt a lot more difficult at the beginning than 3 did. And then as you go along, you kind of get a lull. But the end of New Vegas was a pain in the ass. And so it very much felt like... They do that right, though. Don't you think that... Do you fear the creatures and... non-humans far more than you do the human raiders and other stuff?
Oh yeah. Have you run to a bear yet?
Yeah. What are they calling them? That's like, actually
like
in the
stunted yowie something.
Yeah.
Or I think
yowie. I think that's just the Japanese or Chinese word for bear. If I remember my lore right.
It's what you say when they swipe your head off.
No, you.
Yeah. I had a great moment yesterday where I was walking along and like I just hear and I turn around and it's like on top of me. I'm like, oh no, this is Red Dead Redemption all over again. And so like I start like bullfighting it, like it charges at me and I jump out the way. But he kept swiping at me as he went by, and this went on for like maybe 3 minutes, and I had like one health left and he had one health left, and he lunged at me, and I did the bats and I shot him right in the head in slow motion, and then as the bullet hit him, he hit me, and so we both like died in like this flurry of blood, just like, and then slow motion went away, and was just like, "You are dead."
How do you like VATS? Do you like it?
I like VATS. I wish they would explain it more.
Good luck.
They like because it's like, oh yeah, you have VATS. Like I know what VATS is. I watched my brothers play, but like you like when they introduce it to you, it's like, oh, if you press this button, then you can slow down time. That's it. Like, they don't tell you the right stick is to like change the enemy, and they don't tell you that left stick is to change the body part.
All
right. Like, they don't tell you that like it uses up your AP points or whatever. They just, you press this button and it slows down time. Like that was their tutorial for that.
I am a part. That's where I joined the horde in the hate. I don't like VATS. The only time I use it and the only time I find it useful to waste your action points in that regard is with the flying creatures. I disagree with the horde on rad roaches. I can usually nail those pretty easily. Sans VATS. But then again, I have fought a lot of them, so maybe that's got something to do with it. Or maybe I'm just a lucky little shit. But any of the flying creatures that you've run across, that is what you save VATS for. I tend to do... And I guess Arma's making me worse. I tend to do Fallout the same way I do a lot of Arma at long range big sniper rifles. And then when I've wiped out enough of them, you know, I use hiding to my advantage. You know, because I don't know if you've been in stealth yet, where you right click
or yeah,
you
yeah,
click
yeah.
on the right stick. You can a lot of times shoot one or two enemies and get in that caution phase.
Yep. Yep.
And then let it go back to hiding. It's a slow burn, and it's a much slower pace of play, so it's not going to be for everybody, but it saves your ass a lot of times, especially if you're trying to take on something that's not, you know, that's... It's just, it's not badly designed, but you're going to get into some battle places where it's you're not a you don't have any kind of advantage.
I have.
Oh wait,
me, I have.
Did you click where you ran into the UI? Did you clear out the park not too far from your starting area where there's not one but two of the stupid things?
No, that was just when I was walking around.
Oh, you may have run into that on accident. There's a spot, and there's no spoiler. It's just a place you clear out, nothing to do with anything. Where there's not, there's two of them. And I killed the first one, and I'm like, yeah, killed him. And then I saw the second one in the distance, and I'm like, shit, I'm out of bullets. With creatures, they use a lot of Molotov cocktails and mines.
I do not like how those work.
What, the explosives?
The throwing mechanic?
Yeah, you got to get a perk to make it the way you want it.
The first time I was like, oh, I have a Molotov cocktail. Oh, there's like 10 enemies in this next room. Here, let me just throw it. And like I pressed RB. It's like, oh, nothing happened. And then like I start walking away. And like as I turn around from the door, like towards the wall, like it finally lets go and like throws it directly in the wall in front of me, and like I burned to death.
The problem is you're trying to fit a lot of mechanics onto a controller. Fallout is the line for me with a controller, but there's also a sound cue that they needed to make louder. You essentially just need to hold in the button, and when you hear the click, then aim it. I have yet to have it go off in my face, and I've held them for a long time. So while I won't swear there's not a timer on them, it appears there isn't a timer on them. And so it's definitely not a great mechanic, but the amount of things they had to fit to make it work on a controller, which is another point of contention from PC gamers. Oh, you can't remap this, and I play this way, and this was made for controllers. What bullshit. Well, I've been PC gaming 20-plus years, and I feel more comfortable playing Fallout with a controller on PC. I know that's sacrilege to the PC gods, but you're idiots. Give in and play it on a controller, you morons. There's a perk. Look in your perk list. You may have to look it up on the like Fallout Wiki. There's a perk that if you want to use explosives and don't want to have to deal with that problem you're dealing with, will make it easier. And I think it's one that's pretty easy to obtain. But the other tweak I want to talk about with Fallout is they have added some new enemies. You probably haven't seen them yet, I would suspect. But
well, bears are new.
No, they were in the older ones, the 2D ones.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they were in the 2D ones.
Yeah, I've seen the deer, too.
Oh, have you run into any legendary enemies yet?
No, I don't think so.
Ran into a legendary super mutant. There was one tiny problem with him. This is a slight spoiler, but you'll live, including you. They're super mutant suicide bombers. It's all right until they're legendary. And they take out, like, a 50-mile radius. Here's a pro tip for you if you're going to play Fallout 4. I love the dog and my other follower. I like what they've done with follower mechanics, but they are disposable. You lose aggro on anything about to kill you with an explosion or radiation or poison on your follower and call it a day. None of them can die. Although the dog's animation when he goes down is a little terrifying. Well, that's not terrifying. It's a little bit makes me feel bad. But still, that's kind of their job.
That's why you use the robot. Because he doesn't die, and you don't have to use health things on him. And he also has a flamethrower.
There's the other problem. See, I'm not that nice. I'm not giving stim packs to my followers.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't like the dog. The robot doesn't need anything. He just goes down and comes back up again.
Well, no, so does the dog. You don't have to give him a stim pack. He just sits.
Oh, you don't have to? Oh.
Well, no.
Why does it tell you? Like, ugh.
Well, that's, you see, part of the issue here, and this is something if you're thinking about playing the game and have never played a Fallout game before, they didn't explain it super well for new people.
They don't explain anything in this game.
Because that's how it's been since Fallout 3. I think there was a way your followers could actually die, or companions, as they're calling them now, could actually die in 3 and New Vegas. But for the most part, yeah, they could. But for the most part, prior to this game, when they went down, they just stayed down and were out of the fight until all the enemies were gone. So I already knew that. You don't need to give them anything. You can if you want them back up in the fight right that minute and want to waste a stim pack on them. I'm a selfish prick. I want to keep them for me. Mostly because if I die the game, I have to restart. You know, I have to go back to my last save. But yeah, that my problem with the Mr. Handy is they're not very durable. That was my fear with him.
Oh, he's pretty durable.
Well, then they OP'd him a little bit, or up-gunned him a little bit, because the standard issue ones that you fight against are usually, like, two-hit wonders.
No, I like the guy that I have. He has saved my butt many times.
Well, and keep him. I mean, that's the thing. You will find, what am I up to now, possible ones I could use. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 6 possible ones I could be using. I think I've damn near found them all, if I remember right. Plus with dog meat and the human ones, you can equip them in armor and stuff. Like, they have dog armor. It takes you a while to find it, but I've got a set of dog armor if I want to use them again. Looks pretty badass on the dog that was trying to chew my face off, so I'm assuming it'll look pretty good on dog meat. You just gotta, that's another thing they don't explain, that if you look in their inventory, you can figure out how to, actually I will explain that, because it's not a spoiler, and it's something they didn't explain. Maybe this is a good thing we're talking about this a little more in depth. When you have a follower that's, and it might work with Mr. Handy too, who's actually has a name and I can't remember what the fuck it's called, but if you trade something to them, right, so that you have less weight.
Yeah, they hold on to it, right?
Yeah, they hang on to it, but also, if you highlight that thing, you can look at the bottom, and sometimes it will say equip, and so then the Mr. Handy can equip a gun. The most he can equip is guns, but with the human followers...
I wonder if I can give him a hat.
Ooh. That would be... Okay, then I might start using him. If he could wear a hat, then I might start using him.
I'm gonna try that after the podcast. That's the first thing I'm going to do.
Message me on Facebook.
Because I found a cool hat, so...
Yeah, message me on Facebook and let me know if it works, because then tomorrow I'll try it. But that was the other thing they didn't explain. So anyways, for those of you that have never played the game or played it before, you actually have to equip stuff to them. It's Y button on a controller, or that would be triangle on the PS4, I think. Before, in previous Fallout games, if what you gave them was better than what they were wearing, they would just put it on. And so I gave the particular follower I've got a bunch of stuff, and they didn't put it on. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I was reading about how many different followers you could get, because I like to collect them all and then just trade them out and fart around with them. And they're like, oh, and yeah, they'll wear stuff that you tell them to if you equip it. And I'm like, what? They changed that? God damn it. So don't feel bad if somebody who's never really played the games before and not understanding everything, because that was the second thing that tripped me up, was like, oh, so now the human follower I'm using has got a badass set of armor just like I do and good guns, and, you know, it goes down, I just leave it down until the fight's over or I die, whichever.
Do your followers run out of ammo?
Yeah. You have to give them ammo. It's going to happen with Mr. Handy, too. I don't think his flamer runs indefinitely. I'm sure it has to have fuel.
No, he's been going fine.
Oh, you know what? They might have a base weapon that they don't need to have ammo for. But that weapon generally sucks. You're going to find as you level up and actually start to travel out that he's going to need a better weapon than that flamer. That flamer's going to be pretty good for a lot of things, but as you start to level up and increase in level... It's like, what level are you right now?
7 or 6.
Yeah, see, I'm like level 21 or 22. And the
enemy... You level up so slow in this game.
I'm actually surprised, given what we're going to talk about next, you haven't leveled up more.
Unless you're just doing something wrong, I don't know.
No, you have to do quests. The bulk of the leveling I'm getting is from... The bulk of the XP I'm getting is from quests.
Okay.
They could have tweaked how much you get from crafting a little more. That would have probably been better. The hardcore have been screaming, but they're already screaming that it's a crappy console port and not next gen and runs like garbage, and, you know, I think to tie a neat bow in that, because I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm surprised how many Metacritic reviews and other garbage I actually read this week after I'd played the game for a bit. If you like the old ones, don't worry about it. This one's just as good as them. It's got some issues. Apparently, there's a lot of bugs in it. I can't find them so far. I've seen a couple goofy things.
I mean, I've seen a couple of bugs. I mean, the rad roaches and the mosquitoes. And...
I made that joke on Twitter, too. I hate fucking new mosquito things.
Yeah, those are awful.
They
look like the ones we have down here, though, so...
Yeah, they are about as big as Alabama mosquitoes, that is true, or Northern Canada. Okay, so the crafting system. Let's skip the weapon modding and stuff, because that's pretty much basic stuff. It's not...
I have problems even with that, like figuring it out.
It's collect the stuff and make the new stuff. More power, less power, more...
What happened, where does, so if I add a mod to a weapon.
Right.
And then, let's say I add a new hand grip.
Right.
You know, and then I get rid of that hand grip and add a different hand grip. Where does the other hand grip go?
Oh, this is the diminishing returns theory of I want all my stuff.
Yeah, does it just delete itself or?
Short of it being stored in the workshop... Or that workbench? Yeah, it probably just deletes itself, but don't change hand grips would be the lesson. I see why it's concerning to you, but that's one of those things that's just not gonna bother me because a lot of RPGs tell you that if you want to change to this, you gotta give up this. And so it's just like, okay, fuck it, I don't care. I think the interesting thing to me about the crafting so far is the fact that you basically become Samford and Son Junkman stuff you would have passed up in every other Fallout game. You're packing back like a pack mule. Even I am.
Mm-hmm. I do like how you can mark items that you may need for things that you want. So if there's a gun that you want or an upgrade that you want.
Oh yeah.
You can press Y and a little magnifying glass will show up. And so whenever you come across an item in the world that can be used for that thing that you want to use, it will, there's that icon will be there.
Yeah, the search function. I just noticed that, and that's not the game's fault. That's, me not paying attention fault.
Well, I mean, they don't explain it to you. I mean, I accidentally pressed, what does Mark do? I had no idea what that does. And it's I can actually look for this thing now. One thing is, screws are so hard to find. You think there would be screws all over the place.
Have you scrapped anything at your settlement yet? Have you used the...
Yes. That's another thing. They don't tell... when you go into your editing fortress mode thing, right. They don't tell you that you can, scrap things. I didn't, they had the button there, and I was like, okay, what does that do? But, you have to go around, and you have to, highlight an object, and then you scrap it.
All right.
That wasn't explained to me. I was just building stuff off of stuff that I found. I didn't realize you could even get rid of things that were already there.
So. Well, and that's the thing. I didn't either. And it tripped me up later on. I'll just leave it at that. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Okay. So the bitching that you will see on the interwebs about piss poor tutorial explanation, yeah, Bethesda, but
oh yeah, they blew it hardcore.
They blew it there. As much as I love the game and would probably give the game an 8 out of 10 or an 8.5 out of 10 at this stage of it, or basically what the professional reviewer Metacritic average is, I kind of tend to agree with those guys. That it was such a mistake because you are going to attract new people with this crafting system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because...
They do not explain at all.
Right. And because of the setting. You know, this franchise has predominantly been on the West Coast, minus Fallout 3. And really, even Fallout 3, the Washington, D.C. area, culturally, is not, its culture game isn't that strong. Now, don't get upset at me if you live in DC or Maryland. I'm not saying you guys don't have a wonderful culture, but it's not one you think of when you think of America. You think of like New Orleans, you think of SF, you think of SoCal, you think of New York, Boston, Philly, you know. And so they kind of had to do a truly deep cultural fallout, and Boston was the perfect place to put it. You know, I'm sure people in New York would tell you it should have been New York, but I think Boston, because everything...
It's a more manageable size.
Well, it's not even so much more of a manageable size, and we'll get into that shit in a minute, too. It's not even so much it's more of a manageable size as it is you have more outlying areas. If you were going to do New York City, that bulk of that is city. It would have felt like Fallout 3, where you were in D.C. proper for the most part, unless you played any of the DLCs. And the DLCs, you went hell and gone all over the place. You know, so they needed a more mixed area, which I thought they got absolutely perfect. You know, you have Boston, but then you have Lexington and Concord, and then, no, fuck off, this isn't a spoiler. Obviously, if the map's going to be of any size, there's going to be a few, you know. Guess what? Lexington and Concord isn't but a handful of miles outside of Boston proper.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the building, have you built a building from scratch?
I'm slowly trying to refurbish my original house, but I haven't built from scratch yet because, I mean, I just found out that you could scrap things, that you could scrap entire buildings.
That is the only thing that may frustrate you again, since you now know scrapping and this and that. Yeah, the only house I didn't really go through and scrap, and I admit it's silly human sentimentality, is I did not touch the house that we lived in. Did you scrap and have you scrapped the entire ruined houses yet?
No, just one to test it out.
I leveled that whole place. I hate clutter.
I went through. The first thing I did when I found out you could delete stuff, I was like, okay, I'm getting rid of this telephone pole in the way. I'm getting rid of this car that's upside down. Getting rid of these bushes. Like, I was doing yard work for maybe 45 minutes.
I've been storing some furniture that has storage capacity. What that means, I'm still not sure. I need to investigate on that. But what I will tell you is that the building... is the freestanding building is above average, but it has some issues. It does snap lock like Exile or Epoch, which are Arma 3 mods, or Rust. But if you do build freestanding, you have to use the floors. Because if you don't put in the floors, then the walls won't snap to it. And even as good an artiste as you are, good luck freehand lining any of the build by pieces.
I mean, I'm having a hard enough time putting down a rug. So, I mean, I don't even want to think about that right now.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that they do snap lock, but if you're going to build from scratch, start by using the flooring that comes with the thing. I kind of wish I hadn't gone on and done a couple quests because now I kind of want to tear it down. I built a rudimentary shack. I used a lot of resources. I probably shouldn't have, but there's another little thing that, and this is a slight spoiler, but it's a helpful one. If you put up a recruitment tower in that initial settlement,
I've done it in another one.
Right. Okay, so you've done that quest. We'll do it at the original one, because then what you can do... I was storing all my crap at the Red Rocket Station. It's the one in all the commercials, so don't bitch at me about spoilers. It's in every fucking commercial. You can send a settler to become a mule to pack stuff between supply lines, or between bases. You have to have a perk. It's called, like, leader or something. It's in there. You'll see it. If you're going to be more crafting-centric, especially as you do some quests to get some levels and collect junk and stuff, you'll want that leader perk, and you'll want to have settlers recruited to your place so that you can use them to go to different places. Because what I intend to do is I'm going to try and figure out how to set up a network to where when I finally decide where I'm going to live permanently, because I don't think I'm going to live there at the first place. In fact, I may be done building there. I'm going to figure out how to set up a network to where I can have everything sent to one spot, hopefully.
Yeah, that's like another thing I didn't understand. Like when I went to the Red Rocket Station, and like you have like the benches there, the work benches.
Right, you can like, make that a settlement.
When you click on, they don't tell you like, oh yeah, you can make this a settlement. Like I didn't realize until like the little icon pops up, you know, in the top left.
Right.
Like, oh, you now have unlocked this as a settlement once you clear all the stuff out. You know. And like there's a bunch of places on the map that you can do that at. You know, I realize now to look out for that, but initially I had no idea.
You don't want to do some of those independent because there's just a lot of stuff you have to play the game to get. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you'll mess it up. Let me put it to you like that. I knew that the Red Rocket Station was a settlement. Anything that's got that workbench that you can access.
Yeah, I realize that now, but.
Yeah.
And also, I understand, like, when you click on the workbenches, they usually have junk, like, in the workbenches. Like, I don't understand, like, is that junk just things around the room, or is it, like, inside the workbench?
It's inside the workbench.
Is it, like, the same junk that's in the workbench back at the home base place? Like, I don't know. I had so many questions.
Unless you have that perk I'm talking about, and you set a settler to be a mule, basically, a trader, everything in the workbench is independent, and they all come with a small amount of stuff. And then anything you scrap goes into the workbench.
Yeah.
And so there, until you do certain things, they're all independent.
So if you scrap something while you're in the editing mode,
mm-hmm.
that gets dropped into the workbench. That doesn't go into your inventory.
Yeah. Dude, okay,
I didn't know that either.
Like, I would have been like 400 pounds overweight the way I was doing it, if that had been the case. I'm usually like a pound close to being overweight anyway, or overburdened. But yeah, just from now on, if you run into an issue, message me on Facebook, because I don't want to give too much more away.
I'm probably going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah, because I'm now playing with the crafting, and I'm glad you actually played it because you essentially saved me a lot of work of basically saying they didn't explain it well enough to new players. And the last 10 minutes of conversation that Glace and I have had, while maybe wasn't super interesting to you, explains where Bethesda screwed it up. If I had not played a bunch of early access games, Arma mods, and Rust, I would have been just as confused as you were. And there was still stuff I missed.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I know a lot of things, like storing items, how that works, is like because I've watched, you know, my brothers play. I mean, if I had gone to this game without ever looking at a Fallout game, like, I probably would have stopped playing, just because it's so ambiguous what you have to do.
At this point, I don't think they're trying to attract new players.
No.
I think they figured anybody they were going to attract was going to be like me and have played a lot of early access games. But maybe didn't like the Fallout universe. And that's the bottom line of the game. Does it do anything earth-shattering or mind-blowing that apparently goons of a lot of stripes that inhabit Reddit and all the other various places are mad about? No, it didn't. But it added a lot to it that's going to keep the game interesting. And that's before it even gets modded, you know. There's already a nudity mod. There's already a this mod that... I don't want to see any of these people naked. Didn't care about that in Skyrim either. You know. But definitely keep going and just message me if you have any problems. Because I could see you really getting into the building once you get on your feet on the ground. But don't let the frustration get to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the way that I'm working is that I slowly expand out from where the home base is. You know, I do a quest that's usually within that area. So I don't have to go too far. And while I'm doing that quest, I pick up junk and weapons and stuff. And then when I'm heavy, then I go back to the base. And then I mod my weapons. I upgrade my weapons. And then I with the extra junk that I have, then I add stuff to the home base area. So, I mean, I have like a process going in my head, but I mean, I keep running into things where I'm like, oh, I don't really understand. I wish there was some explanation here. But
yeah, I'd say that's the biggest. When you're doing quests, do you find them pretty easy to do because there's a marker and you just follow it?
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry, taking a drink of water. The other thing that they did that I'm not sure I like is how power armor is handled. I'm not going to say anything more than that, so none of you negative Nancys worry about or cry about spoilers. There are times I like it, and there are other times it pisses me off. I'm really undecided on that. It's more true to how that would work, you know, and all the lore from the Fallout universe. But I don't know. It just seems to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
so.
I don't even use it because I don't understand it. Like,
oh, I use it, but I use it
like
sporadically.
After I left it somewhere, you know, I was like, where does this like go to all the different places if I access the terminals? Like, what is like I built refixing? They don't explain anything. There's no explanation for anything.
Well, there isn't. I mean, obviously, this is for modern gamers. This is too far a bridge to leap. But there is explanations in the help files for a lot of it. So they didn't completely leave it out, but they didn't make it mind-blowingly obvious either, which would have helped. Also, too, I think the other critical thing is don't overthink stuff. While it's confusing a little bit, it's definitely not that complicated. Like the
the bulk of the game, I mean, it's fine. Go places, shoot people, get the objective, go back. Like, I mean, that's...
Well,
I'm trying to get into the depths of the game. And when I try to do that, it's like, I wish there was more, not hand-holding, but some sort of direction.
Right. Like with the power armor, I basically just am leaving that at the Red Rocket Station. And when the game gets a little too rough, I'll figure out how to use it. But I need a reason to figure out how to use it. You know, and believe it or not, that is a bitch of some of the Fallout hardcores. Oh, everything's handed to you right off the bat. And it's obvious that the idiots didn't play it very long before they turned it, you know, refunded it to Steam or whined or cried or did whatever they do or didn't even play it, just watched people streaming it. There's a lot of things that were in Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3 that... It just couldn't be in this game, to my mind, because it would have just made it that much more confusing and that much more difficult. You know, they changed things, which is what this crowd that tries to act like they're the majority and they're not wants. They want Fallout Dark Souls. You know, but I just wouldn't let it frustrate you too much. It would be my guess. You'll definitely get into the depths of the game. You just don't. I would suggest backing off on fixing the settlement and doing a little more questing.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you may find that there's people in places that will help you with the former as you go along. So, because I feel like right now I'm at the right balance to where I can kind of do whatever I want and not feel like I'm missing out on anything and not feel like I'm hindered by anything. I'm tempted to go see what happens with this particular set piece I was talking about, but I'm not even sure I'm going to go do that. I was pretty happy that they added a lot of tweaks from Skyrim. There's like the AI pathing. There's a lot of stuff to your companion AI. There's a lot of stuff that they picked up either from Skyrim or Skyrim mods. Like all those models, you know, that you can twist and play with while it's loading.
Yeah,
that's from Skyrim.
Yeah, I'm watching those play Skyrim too. Yeah,
and I think New Vegas, but they've now caught up all their franchises, so I suspect that an Elder Scrolls game will be next. I can't wait to see how many people are pissed off about that because it didn't do this and didn't do that. Bethesda's kind of backed themselves into a corner. They don't have a lot of places to go with either Elder Scrolls or Fallout to where they're not going to get more of this bitching that it's not new and earth shattering. The funniest people to me, and it was in one subreddit, were the people that were trying to blame the Elder Scrolls MMO for how crappy Fallout 4 was. Can we please just... Oh, because the Elder Scrolls fans, most of whom don't play Fallout anyway, there's not a ton of crossover there, in my opinion. There's some, but not a lot. Just will take any opportunity to bash the fact that Bethesda dared to make an MMO. Bethesda draws those type of RPG fans who don't play MMOs. They see MMOs as a stain on the genre that shouldn't even have the word RPG in it. And that's fine if they feel that way, but this ludicrousness of trying to blame everything Bethesda does being bad on because they dared to make an MMO that wasn't really all that great, but wasn't horrible either. I got news for those clowns. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they don't try a Fallout MMO, which I wouldn't want to play. There's already post-apocalyptic MMOs out there that, yeah, they're all right. But I think that's enough of the Fallout stuff. So, but overall, would you say you're having a good time with it, even with the lack of explaining?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying just walking around and exploring things, which is my favorite part, you know, of any game. It's just experiencing it, you know, walking around, finding whatever there's to do. But yeah, I mean, I like just walking around and listening to the radio station, you know, collecting things. I've already found a few bobbleheads, so.
Yeah.
And like the comic books, too. I found a lot of the comics.
Yeah,
I've leveled up more from finding things than from actually doing things. So.
Yeah, I like the way they did that. It's different and has, again, obviously caused a lot of bitching, but I'm actually paying attention for that stuff now. They tried to make it sort of important in New Vegas, and I just was like, oh, there's not enough incentive there for me to find these. Now there's incentive for me to collect them. And so every place I look, or every place I'm in, I look for certain stuff. And I'm also starting to figure out which junk has the best value for packing around. And so it just adds new elements to it. But yeah, I'm definitely loving it too. It's the more I play it, the more it strikes me is the outrage and bitching. It makes sense because they just aren't doing what Fallout fans think they should do. And of course, some of those people may very well be the people that didn't think it should have ever left the 2D Baldur's Gate style look of the originals. Also, excuse me. Also, too, leaving Fallout 4, probably not going to do a hell of a lot more on this podcast, like we told you at the top. I did talk to Agent K about the Ubisoft Assassin's Creed models thing. And he said it's pretty possible that given the way stuff works and given the kind of animations and other assets you'd have to use that to make those costumes look right, it could be up to a gig size file.
Yeah, I mean, if it's dynamic cloth, you know.
Right.
I mean, all models are polygons, you know. So a box is like, you know, six sides.
Right.
You know, but what's a piece of cloth moving in the wind, like how many polygons is that? That's like a bazillion, you know.
So. Exactly. And that's the problem. Really, talking to AJK about it basically just confirmed what I thought last week on the show, was that you probably should just get ready for bigger files for a lot of things, because stuff is becoming more complicated. And geometry, you can only make geometry so small and so compact for certain things. I mean, even going back to Fallout, even the way they're doing kind of armor and that kind of stuff in Fallout, I could say I was pleasantly surprised how small the install file was for PC. It was like 24 gigs.
It took a while to install on Xbox.
Did you guys do it from disk?
Yeah, from the disk, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I actually, again, Agent K, same day, same conversation. A company called Directed Drive that gives you Steam keys when you buy from them. Had excuse me, you had to just join their crappy newsletter, which I'll probably eventually put in spam. Sorry, guys. I got 10% off, so I actually bought it on Saturday. And I just let it preload. You know, that's what kind of what sucks. I hope the next step in digital is once it's preloaded, you can just hit play the day it launches. Because I preloaded it like either Sunday, I think I did it Sunday morning while I was playing The Witcher 2. And, you know, I did that, checked on it on Monday, and then on Tuesday when it came out, what do I have to do? I have to sit there and wait for it for like 15 or 20 minutes, 25 minutes for it to unpack and install. Because God help us, you can't code it, so I just can't hit a play button before release. You know? I mean, I understand why they do it, but at the same time, it's like, really? So the three idiots that are going to take the time to... that are going to take the time to figure out a way to play it 2 days early. Of course, with video and streaming and all this, that, and the other thing, and all the leaks they already had, it kind of makes sense. But I wish we could make that initial process after pre-install or pre-download a little quicker. But it's actually relatively small given the size of games today or what games are becoming. I was pretty impressed. Speaking of that, it sounds like people pretty much universally liked Assassin's Creed Syndicate, so you may want to give that a look on the cheap when you get time.
I hate London, and British culture is so boring to me. Like, I know that's a really unpopular opinion, but I just say, oh my gosh. English history just shoot me in the head right now.
I was going to say, we got like a lot of close personal friend listeners.
I know we have so many British listeners. I hate saying that. UK listeners. I don't know why. I've been to London too. And we went to Stonehenge and did all the London stuff. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell Chris and all of you people. I wish I could be like, yeah, but I don't know what happened.
Well, Chris and Olivia are from Wales. They're not from London. That's a little different. I love the architecture and the setting of London, and that the time period they've set it in is what I like. But I could see how it could rub somebody the wrong way. I'm not a big fan of games specifically in cities anyway. Obviously, I've played them, and obviously I've liked some that have been that way. But that's kind of what turned me off to Dishonored. It's like, oh, I'm in this city the whole entire time. Fuck. I mean, the Assassin's Creed that I played, which was, what, 3? Wherever the Revolutionary War one was. The nice thing about that was it was out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it still had the same crappy problems. Oh, I could run up this wall when I'm not being chased by enemies, but now I can't. Thanks, fuckers. It drove me nuts about it that when I played it. But that whole being trapped in this city stuff, unless it's just like super parkour, unless I can climb everything, you know... then I find it a little more appealing, but I was surprised after the bitching, moaning, and rightly so bitching and moaning with Syndicate, or no, excuse me, with Unity, that I didn't know if Syndicate would fare as well, because people were going to be laying for Ubisoft, but...
You know, I think it's just because I'm from New Orleans. I had a friend who's from Heathrow. He came down to visit me here in New Orleans, and he hated it. He just thought it was dirty. He didn't like the architecture, blah 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 blah. You know, well, and I felt the same way. Different, you know, with London and that area. So, I don't think French and British culture mesh in that many places.
If I had to pick one. Well, see, my problem is there's a lot of crossover to me, especially in the Gothic period. There's a lot of Gothic stuff from both French and British or England that speaks to me as being similar and that I like. But there are bits and pieces of other eras of French architecture and British architecture that I do like, and then there's parts I don't. To me, the French is a little too blingy. It's a little bit too much like, really? A little overdone. Not in New Orleans, though. That's more... I don't know what it's...
You get in the late 1800s, you know, it calms down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't go overboard either. And I'm not just talking about the, like, Marie Antoinette days when everything was gilded and shit that was, you know, precious jewels and crap, but... I don't know. I guess for me, architecture and all that stuff is just, it's a piece by piece basis. But then you have people who take it in as a whole. And it sounds like your friend from Heathrow, which, by the way, is more than an airport. His friend doesn't live at the airport. It's actually a part of
it. He lives in Terminal B.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy the movie The Terminal was made about. He finally left. Spoilers. He went to New Orleans and thought it was dirty. God help anybody that actually believes that. But anyway, you know, but for me, I kind of go on a building by building basis, because I've seen stuff in the French Quarter and other parts of New Orleans where it's like, what the fuck were they thinking? But the bulk of New Orleans I like, at least the pictures and stuff I've seen. Obviously, I've not been there. But, you know, I have that same feeling about, you get out here in the West, it's such a hodgepodge of architecture, depending on where it was. Even in this little town I live in, you see, like, Victorian-style houses that, like, are set next to, a Spanish adobe, and they're the same age. You know, they're really both really old. And you're like, what the hell? It's the clash of, you know, Spanish architecture versus, or Mexican architecture, if you prefer, versus, you know, back Eastern architecture. It's very rare that you don't run into a hodgepodge of architecture in the West, because so many different styles and influences. You even see some French a little bit. But yeah, that's interesting. I guess there are certain settings that I like better than not in video games. So I could see that being a big turn off if you don't like the setting. I'll
probably play it at some point. I mean, I still have to finish 3, and I still have to play the pirate 1. So, I mean, I got a ways to go till I get to that game, but I probably will play it eventually.
Unity came after Black Flag, and they got most of the bugs fixed for that one on console. So you've actually got to finish 3, Black Flag, and Unity before you ever get to...
Yep, I got 3 full games, well, 2.5 full games, so...
You never finished 3? You were pretty far along when I finished it.
I got halfway through, and then then I went to Boston. I actually went there.
Oh, so right. I remember.
I guess I kind of got over the history stuff, because I got overloaded, I guess. But
yeah, there's a few, tying back into Fallout one more time, there's a few things I've been keeping my eye out for that were specific to stuff I wanted to see if they put it in. They put in one, but that one's a little obscure. Maybe when you've had more time to play the game, I'll quiz you about it, like on Facebook or something. But okay. But the bulk of what I expected is there, for sure, and I'm happy about that. I still need to go further south, and oh, that's the final thing we'll talk about, since this has been kind of what we've been playing, a rambling podcast. The size thing, because I actually saw it's Rooster Teeth's video game news video that they do. It's like 5 minutes long, and they read headlines and talk about it briefly. It's called The Know. But they ran with the whole, it's only 11 minutes wide thing. And it's just as I suspected. No shit, it only takes you 11 minutes. There's nothing in your way. There's no mountains. There's no ginormous rock piles. You know, there's a couple things that might slow you down for a second. But for the most part, you could pretty much straight run and outrun enemies all the way across. I haven't done it yet. Maybe I will before next week's show. But
the Fallout Marathon.
Yeah, but it was people looking for a reason to hate it. It's definitely smaller than I expected, but there's so damn much to do that, who cares? You know, I've never been one of worried about size anyway, because as soon as I have fast travel options, I'm fast traveling. I'm not walking anywhere.
You can fast travel immediately.
Yeah, I know, but I meant finding places.
Oh, yeah.
Like, say I went someplace the first time, got the quest, went running off to do the quest. I'm not running back. I'm going to fast travel. Yeah. A lot of people run everywhere. And that's where you get that's where the people got this. It's not a myth, but it's bordering on myth of the size of Skyrim. Because you have a lot of people, and I won't venture to say how many, but it's a decent number from what I've been able to determine, that ride a horse or run everywhere. And so, of course, Skyrim's going to feel massive, you know? And we're talking about how much bigger Fallout New Vegas feels, and it pretty much feels like the same to me as Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 3. And I'm okay with that. Because, again, it's not how fast you can run across the map. It's the amount of content. Glacinator's been playing for 8 hours. He's level 7.
Haven't left the top left corner of the map.
Yeah, he hasn't even left the top left corner of the map. I can tell you right now, there's a shit ton of stuff just to the left and right of him. I can think of a number of things you can do without having to go too much further, either to the east or south. No, is that right? Yeah, east or south.
That's right, yeah.
And so it's like, it definitely was. I was a little bit disappointed in the no and other media running with it without ever having laid their hands on a copy. I expect more from folks like that because they usually do things pretty well. But I guess everybody's got to run with the clickbait headline every once in a while. I mean, I clicked on it just to see if they were actually believing it. But it was definitely somebody just looking for a reason to hate on it, to me. Mm-hmm. I'd love every game to be the size of Skyrim. But I think, honestly, a lot of that comes down to how many games you play that are big. You know, again, and I know, like a lot of things that I harp on too much, people are probably getting sick of it, but dude, I got news for you. Any of the Fallout games compared to a fucking Arma map are tiny. You know, I think sometimes we lose perspective on sense of scale. You know, yeah, maybe it's not big compared to Skyrim, but it's massive compared to a lot of other RPGs, more linear RPGs, you know. I mean, the Witcher folks have learned that because they made The Witcher 3 like much bigger than 2. You know, because there's only 3 chapters in The Witcher 2, which is fine. I've got an opportunity to play through it again, making choices different, which is always nice, replayability. But, screw it, dude. It's just 2 of us tonight. I'm hungry. Unless you got anything else, let's get the hell out of here, and we'll just give them a walk and play and show.
I'm good with that.
Okay, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a ton of ways you could do that. First off is Facebook. Shoot us a friend request unless you're an obvious bot. We'll accept it. The second place is wonderpotonline.com or our website. That's wonderpotonline.com. There I post the podcast. That's mostly the only thing going on these days. I might finally throw up a Fallout video, but it's been really nice to just play the damn game rather than worry about recording it. One thing to note, when I do post the podcast at wonderpotonline.com, I post it with an embedded player. So, if you want to listen to it on a web browser, you can. But, if you like to download MP3s, we are on iTunes like everybody else. Just search WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes, we are at archive.org, where you can also search WonderPod. Archive.org is also a great place to get our entire catalog. Everything we've ever done under this banner, so to speak. We have a YouTube channel. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel. I've got a YouTube channel. The WonderPod Online YouTube channel. The 36 Wii YouTube channel. The What Chris Does YouTube channel. The Olivia Made This YouTube channel. And I saw Gunsage finally made a YouTube channel, or is at least promoting it more. I'll try and get his and throw it on here because he used to be on the show. But we also have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPodOnline. All one word, at WonderPodOnline. Ask her. If none of that works for you, we have an email address. It's WonderPod@WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPod@WonderPodOnline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, at ORIGIM. John's not here, so until episode 276, when he'll hopefully be back with us, I'm out of here. See you, people.
I'm about to go put a hat on a robot. So, goodbye.